My friends, interpreting the story of the two poor widows in our first reading and in our gospel this weekend against the context of the difficulty of life, especially in this time and age, I wouldn't be surprised if many of us would say that these two poor widows were foolish and crazy. It is because giving everything that one has in times of dire need and poverty is inexplicable, it's beyond common sense, it's beyond reason. And not only that, you know, widows during Jesus' time, they belong to the bottom section of the society because they don't have anybody to support themselves. And so widows often beg for something to support themselves, and they glean the fields in order to support themselves and nourish their children if they have one. And this is the very reason why in the scriptures, if there are characters so close to Jesus' heart, they are the widows, the poor or the anawims, the orphans. Jesus' heart is so close to these people because they don't have anybody to support them. And so it is very surprising after listening in our first reading and our gospel today, it's very surprising that widows, the two poor widows, gave everything they had when they didn't have anything to decently support themselves. But if you try to reflect a little deeper, both of their readings this Sunday, can we honestly say that these two poor widows acted beyond reason or beyond common sense? Or were they really crazy and foolish? Well, probably, according to the standard of the world, they are. But not in the standard of God. Never in the standard of God. It is because these two poor widows simply showed us how to live the challenge of radical Christian stewardship. A radical Christian stewardship. And what is this basic concept of radical Christian stewardship? It's about our mindset. It's about the mindset that everything we have comes from God, even our own life. Yes, we are gifted and bestowed with so many things, with so many blessings and gifts, and we enjoy the benefits that these gifts and blessings give to us, making our life comfortable and luxurious and great and happy. But the bottom line, the truth of the matter is that these things that we enjoy in life are not actually ours. We are just mere caretakers of these things, stewards, so to speak, of all the things that God has given us in life, even our own life. And so with this in mind, this radical Christian stewardship should then prompt us to always express our gratitude to God, our gratefulness to God because of these things that we enjoy. And there are so many ways we can express this. There are so many ways we can express our gratitude to God. Above all is by participating in the sacrament of the Eucharist. It is because it is in this sacrament when we gather together as one family, not only to give thanks to God for the wonderful things that He has done for us in life, but above all, to thank Him for the gift of His only begotten Son, who has given us the gift of salvation, who has opened for us again that door of grace, so that one day we will be able to enjoy the fruits of His company, the fruits of eternal life. And we can also express this gratitude to God by sharing and using our gifts of talents, treasure, and time. Yes, we enjoy all of these things, but it is not only for us, it's not only for our own benefit. These things are given not only for our own benefits, but to build up the body of Christ, to build up and to support, assist others, our brothers and sisters, especially those who are less fortunate. And probably the third way we can express our gratitude to God is to live in our own life the Hebrew concept of tithing. Tithing just simply means a tenth of everything. God doesn't want to have everything for Himself. He only is asking tenth of what we have. And this is the reason why the Jews during those times were very much in practice about this tithing thing. A tenth of their oil, a tenth of their fruits, a tenth of their wine, a tenth of their everything. Even their children, they offer it. Their livestock, they offer it to God. Moreover, this concept of radical Christian stewardship should also invite us to really profess our conviction of our utter dependence on God, that without Him we have nothing, that we depend on Him in all things. Just like the two poor widows in our gospel and in our first reading today, they essentially give everything they had, trusting that God will provide for them. And so He did. And so He did. And that is also the kind of faith that we are invited to enter into if we completely trust in the providence and in the love and care of God for us. I know, my friends, that the concept of radical Christian stewardship is easier said than done. It's difficult to live. But it's a very basic concept of our faith, a concept that invites us to enter into a process of conversion of heart. Conversion of heart. It is learning how to live in gratitude to God for the many things that we receive. It may not happen overnight, but if we enter into that invitation and respond to that invitation to enter into the challenge of giving what is rightful to God, then we can at least convert our heart and believe and trust in Him, trust in His providence and care. And if there's one person who can give us an authentic example of radical Christian stewardship, it is no other else than our patron saint, Saint Martin of Tours, whose feast we are celebrating today, November 11. I hope you're aware of that. We are celebrating the feast day of our patron saint today. And Saint Martin showed us the generosity of a disciple. Now, Saint Martin could have lived a promising life. His father was a ranking official in the Imperial House Guard. He could have enjoyed the wealth of life all throughout his life. In fact, at the age of 15, he was already drafted to join the military. And at the age of 18, he was already exposed to many wars and battles. So he could have lived a life that is comfortable and luxurious, if he pursued that kind of life. But Saint Martin, at a very young age, loved God unconditionally. So much so that at the age of 20, he left the service. He left the service in order to embrace a life that is dedicated to God, dedicated to the service of others. And in the life of Saint Martin, there are so many examples and incidents of how generous this person is, this saint is. You know, the mural we have in front of the church, I don't know if you noticed that. It's Saint Martin on a horse, you know, cutting his cloak into two. The story of that is, of course, during his time in the service, he saw this beggar who was dying at the freezing cold. And so Saint Martin cut his cloak into two and shared and gave the other half to that beggar. And you know what happened? The evening after that, he had a dream. He had a vision of Jesus boasting around to other people that Martin, the catechumen, because Martin was still going through that process of becoming a Christian or a Christian during that time. So Jesus was going around boasting to everyone that Martin, the catechumen, gave him the other half of his cloak. So the beggar was Jesus himself. So he didn't have any second thoughts, any doubt of sharing what he had to others. And also, before he left the service, they were paying him to stay in the service at the age of 20. They were giving him a bounty, a big sum of money just for him to stay in the service. And he said, no, I don't like to serve anymore. I don't want to go to war anymore. Give that money to somebody else. Give that money to the poor. Martin was so generous of his life. He could have enjoyed everything, but he chose to be generous to God, to be generous to others. In fact, he left the world. He became a monk. He just completely turned away the world and lived and embraced the challenge of the gospel. Archbishop Fulton Sheen said about something about stewardship. He said, "Do not measure your generosity by what you give, but rather measure your generosity by what you have left." And this is just what the two poor widows did in our gospel today. They had nothing left. They had nothing left, but they gave everything to God. Saint Martin did likewise. He left the world. He had nothing left, but he gave everything to God. You know, my friends, Saint Paul reminds us in his second letter to the Corinthians that if we are generous to God, generous with what we have, he will be generous to us. St. Paul tells us and reminds us that God can never be outdone in generosity. He can never be outdone in generosity. And above all else, God doesn't deserve the surplus or the leftovers. He deserves the best. The best of finest wheat. And may we respond to this invitation, to this call of radical Christian stewardship, and we can be certain that God will be all the more generous to us.